So I'm Mary Currier. I'm from Mississippi. I'm the state health officer there. I know you're probably worried about the health department there at this point. This is a little bit about Mississippi, and actually you should be worried about the health department because we do have a lot of public health issues to deal with, as I'm sure you've heard. We have a population of almost 3 million. We have a very high HIV infection rate. We are number one in the country for chlamydia and gonorrhea, and that's just the people we do screen. We do have a very rural state, which leads to access issues. We have a very high rate of poverty, and we have high rates of uninsurance and Medicaid only. And if you look at the people who come to health department clinics and federally qualified health clinics, you'll see that even more of them are uninsured and underinsured. So the issue that we were dealing with, I'm going to actually talk about two different models, one for HIV care, which is more of a chronic disease care, and one for screening for chlamydia and gonorrhea, and two things that we have done recently. So for HIV care, the issues are geographic isolation. It's a very rural state. Financial barriers, lack of insurance, and shortage of trained providers. Even if we were a rich state that wasn't rural, we don't have enough primary care providers in the state, unless you're looking at the Jackson area, the state capital, or unless you want specialty care. We have a lot of specialists. So we wanted to expand the service locations for HIV care across the state, and we wanted to provide training for more people to provide that care. So in order to expand care, we decided that one of the things we would do is start using the Ryan-White Part B money to actually pay our providers who were already providing care to patients to do HIV care as well. So we're actually reimbursing them at the Medicare rate for services of patients who are uninsured or underinsured. And we have a contract with the provider. So the thing that we get out of that, in addition to having the patients taken care of, is we actually have a contract with them, so we get the data that they actually are provided, like I said, the Medicare rates of insurance reimbursement. And this is just a copy of the contract. And if you look closely, you can actually see the address of one of the clinics, so I apologize for that. So don't look closely. But you can see that it is the Medicare rates that we're providing. And it's not just for the HIV care. It's also for other chronic disease care, although it doesn't usually buy the medication for other chronic disease care, and ADAP buys the medication for HIV care. So it's a little bit complicated. So we can get labs done, say, for diabetes, but we can't buy the insulin. So this is where this is occurring. The stars with outlines to them are the places that get HRSA Part C funding for HIV care. The Part B funding, Ryan-White Part B funding, goes to the clinics that you see the blue line to. Now, what we have done in the past in the way we started providing HIV care, and this kind of goes to your point about do we provide it ourselves or do we pay for someone else? We started with a clinic in Jackson that was at the Academic Medical Center, and we directly give them funding to provide the care. We don't reimburse them per patient or per bill or whatever. We actually pay for some of their employees. We do the same thing for a hospital that's in Greenville, which is, let's see, I guess I have to point over there. Where is it? There. The same thing for a hospital here. That's an HIV clinic that's a health department clinic. And for this clinic, we actually have health department employees that run the clinic. So those are a different model. And the ones that we've added are the other ones up here. And we're working to add these two. As you can see, most of them are in the western part of the state. That's where most of our disease is. So makes sense. Now, as far as chlamydia and gonorrhea go, like I said, that we do have the highest rates in the country, and those are the people we screen, so I'm sure there's a lot more than what we know about. We have almost twice the rate of chlamydia as the United States on average, and we do have twice the rate of gonorrhea as the rest of the country. We've always had high rates. That really hasn't changed. So what we have done in the past is we have provided testing, screening, for county and state juvenile detention centers, for the prisons, for college and university health centers, and for community-based organizations. Even if they're not clinical, we've provided screening for those places. And what we're doing now is we're adding federally qualified health centers, and we've started doing that addition process in January of this year with the new CDC prevention grant, the APPS grant. So these are the places where we have done screening in the past, and the FQHCs are being added, three clinics with four different locations total. And you can see where we do the screening in the state. So how did we decide to do that? Well, we knew that we needed to integrate into the community of primary care. You know, as you were saying, as changes occur in the healthcare system, even though we have not expanded Medicaid, there are changes in Mississippi. We are having to start billing. We are having to build a whole system around billing, unfortunately. And we do need to integrate with clinical care in the state more than we're doing. And we do need to make sure that those arrangements include the data for us so that we can do the assurance piece, assure that patients are treated appropriately, assure that there is quality in those clinics. So for the HIV clinics, there's actually a QI piece to that. And we are developing an audit tool so that we can look at the quality of care and make sure that they're providing quality care. And with the screening piece for chlamydia and gonorrhea specifically, we do make sure that those patients are treated appropriately and follow up when there are outbreaks or clusters of cases more than there usually are. So what we did was we looked at the EpiData, we saw where there were the most problems, and we developed partnerships with those FQHCs looking at the ones that had at-risk populations in their clinics, that had uninsured and underinsured folks, and that had otherwise limited access to screening. They weren't doing screening. So, for example, they were doing family planning services, but they weren't doing chlamydia and gonorrhea screening. So basically, we determined the organizations we wanted to target, and we looked at how much money we had, as you always have to do, and we prioritized, because we'd like to work with every FQHC in the state, but we can't. So we prioritized them. We went and talked to them. We got an MOU that allowed us to have the data and allowed us to do follow-up as necessary. And we provided training, and we actually are supplying them with the test kits, and we're doing the testing at our own clinics. Now, Mississippi has health department clinics, at our own lab. Mississippi has health department clinics in every county except one in the state. I used to say no one lived in that county where we didn't have a clinic, but it turns out that one of the folks who works for the health department always raises her hand and then says, oh, my parents live there. So there are at least two people who live in that county, but we don't have a clinic there. They have to share a clinic. That's Issaquena County. It's a very gerrymandered county. So every county except Issaquena has a clinic, and what the FQHCs do is they either deliver the test to the local clinic that then carries it. We have a courier system, haha. My name's Courier, yeah. It's spelled differently. So we have a courier system that brings specimens from all of our clinics to the public health lab, and the FQHCs just have to get it to the local clinic, and they're brought to the public health lab, or our DIS go and pick it up. We, as I said, we provide the supplies and we do the testing, and the STD prevention grant pays our lab to do the testing. So here are the sites. You can see that we've got So the GC and chlamydia screening sites are green, syphilis screening sites are blue, and we do less and less of this as we have less and less syphilis in the state, and we're just not getting positives for that anymore, and the HIV sites. So the numbers in them show how many sites in that particular area. The sites that we're working with, the FQHCs, are actually Yazoo County, which is a high school clinic, and then three in Hinds County, two of them, one is a high school clinic, one is a specific community health clinic, and one is a Midtown teen wellness clinic in a very high STD area. So we don't have any data from that yet. It's good that I only have 5 minutes left because I don't have 5 minutes worth to say yet still. But I do have some really interesting sets. These are supposed to be screening statistics, although I think Harrison County may be only testing people who are symptomatic because their numbers are so low. But these are juvenile detention center numbers and rates of positivity. Don't look too closely because there are a couple that are added incorrectly, but they're very close to correct. So the percentage positive is actually correct. I know I can't add. I don't know what month it is. If you look at it by sex, by gender, you can see that, ignore this one because the numbers are so low, but the other ones, if you look at the male population and the female population has much higher rates. Those are just huge rates of positivity. We expect something close to that in the family planning areas of the clinics where we're working because they are high STD areas as well. So I guess questions at the end. Thank you very much.